Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's this time of the year, the last three Sundays of the church year, we begin to consider death, resurrection, judgment day, the second coming, and the kingdom of glory. And these are the themes which at the end of the church year, the Lord wishes to hammer home to us. Sometimes we can become a little bit fearful and a little bit reluctant because of the word of judgment day. Here we see Jesus as the one who sits on the throne of glory and who separates people one side and on the other, the righteous and the wicked, the sheep and the goats. But instead of being reluctant, instead of being anxious or fearful, I would like to draw your attention for a few minutes today on one particular verse. Then shall the king say, this is verse 34, to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, note this. It is a gracious invitation. Come. The invitation to receive the blessing and salvation of God. And I'd like to speak about this for a few minutes today and go through a few scriptures where this same invitation is given. Back in the book of Genesis, chapter 7, God has told Noah that he is about to destroy the world in a flood, and he commands Noah to build the ark. And in chapter 7, verse 1, we read these words. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thine house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. So here we see again this gracious invitation given by the word of God. Come and enter into the ark. Thee and all thine house. Now in the New Testament, the ark floating upon the waters of the flood is likened unto the sacrament of baptism. The Bible says after St. Peter talks about the flood and Noah and his family safe in the ark, he says, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves us. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So when the Lord Jesus is the second person of the Trinity in the Old Testament, speaks the word to Noah and says, come thou and all thy house into the ark, we see the place of safety. We see how in baptism the Lord Jesus has taken us out of the world that is set for judgment, brought us into his church, of which he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so, come, another gracious invitation to take comfort in our baptism. Moving on in the Old Testament, the Lord once again uses this gracious invitation in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And here, the Lord, the Word of God, says once again, in a gracious invitation, come and let's talk this over. No matter what you may have done, I offer you the forgiveness of all your sins. What a gracious invitation we hear. Come into the ark. Come to baptism. Come into the church. Here, come to the fountain that cleanses from all sin. The Lord graciously invites us to a cleansing that is complete and full. Moving on, one of the more famous invitations in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Here the Lord Jesus speaks to people who labor under the works righteousness and the legalism that has been foisted upon them by the scribes and the Pharisees. And they are laboring, endeavoring to please God and to earn God's grace by their works. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. And they, not only do they labor, but they are heavy laden. It's like they have a big sack of rocks on their backs. And this speaks of the fact that no matter how hard we try, we cannot keep the law of God. Even when we're doing all that we can do, we still find ourselves to be struggling and failing under the burden of our sins. Because God did not give the law to be a ladder to heaven. God sent Jesus to be the ladder to heaven. And so Jesus sweeps away the labor and the burden of works righteousness. He says, come to me. I will give you rest. The word rest is related to the Sabbath. The Lord Jesus is our Sabbath. Have you ever noticed that when you studied the small catechism, which I know you do, every week you study the small catechism. I know it. I know it. The Lord has almost revealed this to me. All right? Now listen. When you study the small catechism, you notice when you get to the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Martin Luther's explanation of the third commandment doesn't mention anything about Saturday or Sunday. He says we should fear and love God that we may not despise preaching and His word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Why does Luther ignore the whole idea of a day and talk about our attitude towards God's word? Because Jesus coming into the world to be the Redeemer of sinners is the fulfillment of the Sabbath day of the Old Testament. He is the one who gives us rest. Therefore, the key thing about the Sabbath commandment is that we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. So Jesus says, "Ye shall find rest for your souls in the forgiveness of sins, in God's smiling countenance." All right, let's move on. In Matthew chapter 22, the king who has a wedding for his son, and he invites people to come, and nobody comes, and he sends out his servants, and it says, he sent forth other servants, saying, "Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." And here we see the Lord in his love for us urgently inviting. Notice the urgency in his voice. He says, "Listen, my oxen, my fatlings are killed. Everything is ready. I have prepared my dinner. Don't miss out on this thing. Come to the marriage." And the urgency of the Lord, by which he invites us to the feast of the gospel, should be responded to by thankful hearts who come and receive the blessings which he gives us in his word and sacraments. So we come in response to the king's urgent invitation. But I'm not done yet. Got a couple more. In Isaiah chapter 55, we hear these words. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Here, the Lord is saying, are you thirsty? Are you hungry? Why are you striving and spending your money for that which does not nourish? The whole world is filled with people who are looking for some answer, looking for something to give their life meaning and cohesion. And the Lord says to us, why are you spending time, money, and effort on what does not satisfy? Come, he says, come to the waters without money and without price. Buy and eat and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Once again, the Lord's gracious invitation for us to feast on the bounty of his gracious word and his saving grace. Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter in the Bible. And just before he gives us a warning not to add or take away from his words, he says this in Revelation 22, verse 17. "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So the last thing that we hear in the book, in the whole Bible, is this gracious invitation given by the Spirit of God through the inspired Word, and by the bride, that is, by the church, in its mission to proclaim the Word of God. The Spirit and the church say, come. While the earth stands, the gracious invitation of Jesus continues and it abides. Come. Come. If you're thirsty, come. Whoever will, take of the water of life freely. And now, in conclusion, we return to Matthew chapter 25 and to the passage that I read at the beginning, where Jesus says to those on his right hand, to the believers, he says, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And see, here we see the final invitation of the Lord in His grace. An invitation which began in the early chapters of Genesis and flows throughout the entire Bible right down to the last words in the book of Revelation. And now we see the final invitation when the believers, saved by grace through faith alone, are invited by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords into the kingdom of glory prepared from the foundation of the world. So when you think about things like death, judgment day, the second coming, and all of this other stuff, don't let your heart be fearful. Don't let yourself be reluctant because of all this talk about judgment. But see the gracious heart of God, who desires the salvation of every sinner and who stands before the entire world and says, come, come, come. He desires our salvation and has done everything to see that it happens. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.